Good morning, Promised Land. Good morning to the rest of Promised Land. Good, good. This past Thursday we celebrated Thanksgiving Day. Let me see all those enjoyed Thanksgiving. Some turkey, some ham, some candied yams, and the works, and the works, and the works. For Kayan and myself, Thanksgiving has a little bit more of a special meaning. Because the day before Thanksgiving this year, we celebrated the first birthday for Brian. And so it was an added reason to give thanks. And for those persons who have not yet gotten to see Brian, I'm going to put him up on a screen for you to see. Just so you get to see him. So that's Kayan and me and Brian. That's me and Brian. Whoa, that's me again. You know, there's a trend here, right? Me and Brian. We spend a lot of time together, trust me. And I was actually trying to sing right there. He was terrorized. Aw. That went a little bit dark, I'm sorry. But that's all three of us again. And that is him on his birthday. There is a reason for me to show all these pictures. It's not just because I want to show him off. But every time I'm with him, I'm around him, it gives me so much joy. I enjoy being around him. I enjoy hearing him laugh. I enjoy playing with him. And as I thought about the text that I'm going to speak from this morning, the idea I get of what was happening in the Garden of Eden, the relationship that God had with Adam and Eve before the sin, I get this feeling of this love, this relationship, this bond. And having Brian has really helped me to understand even more how God really loved to be in the presence of Adam and Eve. And he loved them being in his presence. A fun story was, as some of you may know, before August of this year, or up until August of this year, I worked in San Antonio. And one night per week, I had to be on call in the hospital where I worked. And I had to be able to respond within 30 minutes if I'm called in. And for all those who know 35, there's no way I could come back to San Marcos. So I used to stay in San Antonio for one night per week. So one Friday night, I stayed over and I got home early this Saturday morning. And I opened the door and I stepped in. And Brian was sitting right there on the carpet. And he looked up and he saw me, and this huge smile came on his face. And I just froze. Because that smile said, "Daddy, you're home. I'm glad you're home, and I enjoy being in your presence. I'm so glad you're here." I just couldn't move. I stood there for a while, and I just could smile back with him. And so as I think about the text, which I'm going to put up on the screen right now, Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Before Adam and Eve sinned, I kind of imagined that they had this relationship with God where when God comes into the garden, they smiled because they loved being in his presence. But let's look at the text for this morning. And it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Verse 9, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" The title for my sermon this morning is "Where Are You?" Very short, very simple. Where are you? You know, as I was preparing and I was reading through the text, and I kind of wondered, and this is kind of a side note, but I kind of wondered if when Adam said I was naked, if he said it as a Texan or as a Jamaican. As a Texan, he would have said, "I am naked." As a Jamaican, he would have said, "I am naked." Kind of a side note. There are a few things that jump out at me from the text, and I want us to look very quickly at them. Firstly, God is a relational God. God wants us, God wants to have a relationship with us. God went out of his way to come down into the garden to relate to Adam and Eve. He could have stayed where he was. He had done his magnificent creation. He had given Adam and Eve the first work at home job. And so he could have just left them to work. But he wanted to be where they were. He wanted them to be in his presence. And so he came down in the cool of the day to meet with them. God was seeking them out. Oftentimes we go to God and we go to God for what we can get from God, not because we want to be in his presence. And so our time with God is all about, I want this, I want that, I want, I want, I want. Let me pause to say, we're in the festive season. But for this time of the year, it's really hard for a lot of people. A lot of people suffer from depression. Because here is when they get to realize what they don't have. I didn't get a house I wanted to get this year. I didn't get the car I had plans to get this year. So between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, it's really tough for some people because all the plans they had for the year did not work out. And so they get depressed. They get sad. We often miss, as Adam and Eve probably did as of this moment, that God wants to relate to us and he draws close to us because he wants to build a relationship. He wants to commune with us. But we often treat God like an ATM. We push the button, we expect to get so we can go on our way. So we see God being a very relational God, a God who continues to seek out his people, continues to reach out to his people. And this didn't stop in the Garden of Eden because God still reaches out to us today. He still seeks us out. He still wants a relationship with us. But the passage also shows us something else. It shows us a very reach excuse. And the term reach here refers to being far-fetched or flimsy. Adam gave this very flimsy excuse. I'm naked, or I'm naked. And as I read and as I prepared, one of the things that came to mind is, duh, God saw you there yesterday, you were naked. God saw you when he created you and you were naked. So often we get caught up with the excuses and we think our excuses are sort of valid, but in God's eyes, they are not. They're far-fetched. They're flimsy. Let's look at some of the excuses we normally give when God calls us into a relationship. Firstly, we look at what I'd want to call the missing piece. We say to God, God, as soon as you give me this, I'm going to serve you more. God, as soon as you put this in my life, then I'm going to follow you more. And he say, no, come. I'm here. We try to hide behind what we're missing, what we lack. Some of us are a little bit holier than that, and so we don't get caught up in what we miss. But we get caught up in this myth of perfection. Because we think that we can make things right, and so we tell God, as soon as I clean my life up, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you as soon as I make things right. The truth is, we never will. God is here and he's willing to turn your mess into a message. You can never do it for yourself. We can never clean our mess up. We can never be perfect enough for God. And that's why he comes down to us, because we could never go up to him. And then a third reason, or a third type of excuse we use is called, I'd like to entitle, misplaced priorities. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Will spoke on idols. And in his sermon, he points out that God sometimes gives us different things, and those things become idols in our lives. Well, as we look in the text, we see Adam and Eve hiding amongst the trees in the garden. The very thing that they were given to take care of became a place where they could hide. Sometimes God gives us certain talents, certain gifts, And instead of them being used to glorify God, they become a place for us to hide. And so you can sing, and God says, sing to glorify me, but you get so busy singing for everyone else that you don't have time for God. God gives you a gift of service, and you can serve, and you serve everyone else, but you never have time to serve whom God has called you to serve. We have misplaced our priorities. Several years ago, probably another lifetime, I should say, I used to work in a bank. And I got the job working in the bank knowing before time that God had called me for ministry. But I was like Jonah trying to run. And I tried to run. So I was working in the bank, and my supervisors would always commend me. You have so much potential. You can go very far in the bank. And deep down, God was saying, yep, but I didn't call you for the bank. This job that God had given me, which I was a little bit good at, I wasn't the best, but I was a little bit good at, became a place where I was trying to hide from what God was calling me to. I had misplaced my priorities. And so often we do that. So I want to come to the real question for today. Where are you? And I had to pause to think, why does a God who sees, who knows everything, who sees all, a God who is omnipresent, everywhere present, a God who is all-knowing, walk into the garden saying, Adam, where are you? I want to suggest something this morning. I want to suggest that God knew where Adam was, but Adam didn't. Let me explain it another way. I'm allergic to traffic. I really am. So I get stuck in traffic and I start to get flushed. I start to get irritable. You know, I start to sweat a lot. So my way of dealing with that is I always find the back roads. And I'm still trying to find some here in Texas, so if you know them, you can let me know afterwards. And so every time that I'm on the back roads with my wife beside me, I'd look across at her and I'd go, where are you now? I know she's in the car beside me. But my question is, do you know where you are? God knows where Adam was. The question was, does Adam know where he was? Because by doing what they were told not to do, the communion with God was broken. They were now in an uncharted territory. He was now at a place where he's never been before. And God wanted him to stop and to think. Do you understand that where I created you to be, you're not there? Do you understand that what I created you for, you're not doing? Do you understand that I created you to have an intimate relationship with me, but because of sin, that is broken? Where are you? That question is just as real today as it was over 6,000 years ago. Because the same God who created Adam and Eve for relationship still wants that relationship with all of us. He still wants to intimately relate to every one of us here. And like Adam, we're probably hiding behind a flimsy excuse. God, I'm naked. God, I'm divorced. God, I was in prison. God, my life is a mess. I am hiding. And God is still saying, where are you? There's a word that I really like. This word, communion, because it talks about what Adam and Eve shared with God before sin. And I'm not talking just about the bread and the wine that we have on a communion Sunday. But one definition of communion is the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. God had a communion with Adam and Eve. He shared something intimate with them, but that was broken. That same God is calling us to a place where we too can share in an intimate relationship with him. What is interesting to me is we have here in Genesis chapter 3, this story of the separation between God and man. But in Revelation chapter 3, we have another passage, verse 20, which talks about what God wants to bridge that relationship back. God who has come seeking and searching, and it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Jesus is saying, and this is the Herbert paraphrase version, "I want to rebuild that relationship with humanity on a more personal level. I want to rebuild that relationship with you. I am walking amongst you. My presence is here. Will you let me in?" You know, what is interesting is it says that Adam and Eve hid from the presence of God. And you're saying, "But yeah, we're in church and we've been singing about God being here, and probably your favorite song is that his presence is heaven to you. But when you step outside these doors, is God's presence still heaven to you?" God's presence wants to be with you on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It doesn't want it just to be 5 minutes of praise and worship on a Sunday. So he wants his presence to be heaven to you during the rest of the week. He wants his presence to be heaven to you when you're stuck in traffic on 35. And especially when someone cuts you off. Yeah. He wants his presence to be right there with you. And so God, walking in the garden, says, "Where are you?" I also want to suggest something here. I want to suggest that Adam also kind of missed the question. Because if God was talking about a relational question, Adam was more focused on himself. And so God is saying, "You're not where you're supposed to be with me, Adam." And Adam said, "Well, I'm naked." A similar way we miss the question when God calls us. When God asks us, "Where are you?" And we can find all the different reasons why we're not where God calls us to be. Quite possible this morning, your answer is not that I'm naked, but your answer is that I'm broke. Quite possibly this morning, your answer to God's question of where you is, you're brokenhearted. Quite possibly, your answer to God is that I'm sad. I don't know what your answer is, but I do know that God is still calling you to himself. And I believe someone here this morning really needs to understand that that excuse that you've been using for however long you've been using it, it's flimsy. It's not good enough. The interesting thing about this story is that Adam and Eve went hiding and they got fig leaves to cover their nakedness. But after God confronts them, it was God who had to provide some real clothing for them because their best attempt was not good enough. Our best attempt to make ourselves right with God is an attempt at best. It is never going to be good enough. So that question that Adam and Eve were faced with so many years ago is one that we still need to grapple with. Because God is still seeking us out. God is still seeking to establish a relationship with us. God is still seeking to welcome us into his presence. Yes, as we sung earlier, he's right here with us in this room. He's still saying there's a place in my presence right now for you. And he's also saying, you don't have to search me out because I've found you. I just need you to let me in. Behind every sin, every act of disobedience, we believe a lie about God. And so Adam and Eve were hiding because they believed that they were good enough to hide from the presence of God. But God is here. God is everywhere. His presence is always around us. And quite possibly you believe a lie about God, that you're not good enough, or there's something missing from my life, and until that is fixed, I can never serve him. But God knows you more than you do. He sees your shortcomings. He sees your mistakes. He sees your mishaps. But he's still calling. God is the only one who can provide what's lacking in your life or in mine. Our best intentions are intentions at best, because there's no way we can supply all we need. Here's what God has to say to us in 2 Peter 1, verses 3. It says, his divine power has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us. The Herbert paraphrase, everything that you need for life, everything that you need to serve God, everything that you'll ever need to walk according to what God has called you to, he's providing. So you don't need to fix anything. You don't need to put anything in place, because God is calling. He has provided. And all he says is, come, let me in. I'll make the difference. Do you believe that God has provided everything that you need? Are you open to what God can do in you, with you, and through you, if only you'll open that door? God says, I am at the door. I am standing here. I have knocked. All I'm asking is to open the door. That question that God asked of Adam and Eve is a question that we all need to ask of ourselves. Yes, you are in church. You've grown up in church all your life. But are you obedient to what God is saying to you? Or are you sidetracked trying to pursue the different things that you think you need to show a successful life? Kind of a personal testimony, but the last couple of months, one of my favorite things to do with a computer is to look at houses. Because in the back of my head, I need to get my own place. I need to stop paying rent. I didn't even tell my wife I was going to share this. And God said to me one day, what happens if I decided that I'm going to keep you in a rent house for the rest of your life? Are you still going to serve me? And that floored me. Because I was saying, God, I'm doing what you've called me to do. I'm in ministry. I'm living for you. And he's like, no, but you're obsessed about something that's not of me. And so my point is, what if, yes, you've grown up in church all your life, but what if that one thing that you're trying to grab or trying to grasp is the one thing that God is saying, hey, I'm not ready to give to you right now. Are you still going to serve me? Where are you? Where are you this morning? Are you obsessed or upset? Are you trying to grasp that which you lack outside of God? Or are you going to let him in? When he knocks, when he speaks, when he calls, are you going to be obedient? Right where you are, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads. You don't have to think about who's sitting beside you, who's sitting behind you, or who's sitting in front of you. But if the Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning, if God is saying to you, where are you? And you want to respond. The altar is here. And we have pastors and leaders who will be willing to pray with you. We don't want that, like Adam, you find yourself hiding in the trees and you get comfortable hiding there. We want you to be obedient to what God is saying. And if this is a step that's going to make you, show you to be obedient, then we invite you to make that step. Someone will be here to pray with you. And at the end of every service, we also do offer baptism. And if that's what God is saying to you this morning, then we're also going to welcome you to make that step. We have everything you need to get baptized. We have towels, we have clothes, we have air products. We don't want an excuse to keep you away from God. And so we've provided everything you need. Or if you're here this morning and you've been a lifelong Christian, but you feel God speaking to something in your heart, something that you've been grasping after, that God is saying, let go. Let go and let me have my way. And you'd like for someone to pray with you, we're also willing to do that. When the question is asked of you, let your answer not be the same as Adam, that you're hiding. Hiding because of something you lack or something you think you can do. Let your answer be, I am right here, Lord. Ready and willing to do that, to do what you've called me to do. So I invite you, those of you who want to come forward for prayer, please do. I'm just going to ask the leaders to come forward, pastors. This is your opportunity. Any other prayer leaders we have, I'm just going to ask you, come forward. Promise group leaders.
For the sake of you, my King, giving you my dreams, laying down my pride, and giving you my heart, for the promise of new life, and I surrender all to you, all to you, and I surrender all to you, all to you.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the opportunity we have to be in your presence. God, may we be open to that which you're saying to us. May we stop hiding behind ourselves, behind our lack, behind our wants. May we trust you completely. God, you declared yourself to Abraham as her Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Help us to realize that you're still in the business of providing. God, your word declares that your divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning telling you thanks. God, help us to search ourselves. Help us to be honest with ourselves. That when the question, where are you, comes out, may we truly find ourselves in you. Lord, this world tries to tell us all we need can be bought, but who we really need is you. And so, God, as we seek after you, may we continue to open ourselves to that which you're going to do in us, with us, and through us. May we be obedient to that which you are saying. Lord, we just give you thanks for your goodness towards us. We give you thanks that you continue to pursue us. You continue to seek us out for yourself. Again, Lord, we pray that we'll be obedient, that we'll be open, that we'll be honest, and that when a question is asked, that we can truly say, here I am, Lord. So as we prepare to go from here, Lord, we ask that you'd continue to walk with us, continue to speak to us, continue to challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just before you go, the word that Adam says we heard you in the garden, the word is Shama. It's interesting that that very word can also be translated obedient. But in this case, Adam and Eve weren't. They disobeyed. As you prepare to go, I'm going to challenge you to be obedient to what God is saying to you. Last week, Pastor Robin shared with us that we're going to do a special offering in December, and that everything from that offering goes towards outreach. My prayer is that you continue to seek God's presence, to seek God's direction, and to be obedient to that which he says. To be prepared to give of that offering when that time comes. Thank you for coming. But as you go, go with God's presence. And may he continue to be there with you as you go through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.